Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, you've got the demonstrations, you've got the 60 Minutes interview, you have the incoming and slowly being announced, not cabinet members yet, but chief of staff and all that kind of stuff. So here we are, T plus, 6 days in terms of the incoming president-elect Donald Trump. And the hits just keep coming, right? It's such an interesting time here in the United States of America, and I don't mean that necessarily being a great thing in terms of what's happening around the country. But I am curious for you out there, whether if you voted for Donald Trump or if you didn't, if you perhaps wrote somebody in third party, if you didn't just chose not to vote in the presidential section on your ballot. I would love to hear from you today as we kind of work through some of the things that are happening out there as this transition of power. And perhaps I spoke too quickly last Wednesday, if you recall. The day after the election, when I was doing the show last week, I said, you know, praise the Lord, last night and that morning, there were no really kind of wild demonstrations or violence or anything like that, another peaceful transfer of power. And of course, sadly, that didn't last very long as you got into Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, really every night, there have been demonstrations around the country. Leslie Stahl, who interviewed Donald Trump on 60 Minutes, my wife and I watched that last night, said to him at one point, you know, there's all these, every city, there's demonstrations in every city. I'm like, ma'am, do you know how many cities there are in the United States of America? This is just what happens with the modern media and the vortex of that machine. To say that there's a anti-Trump demonstration in every city in America is preposterous and ridiculous and completely over the top. And, you know, he didn't call her out on it. And of course there isn't. Now, are there demonstrations? Absolutely. Have some of them been violent? Absolutely. Maybe you haven't seen this yet, but they're bussing in protesters. There's a video from Chicago where there were just a couple of blocks full of buses bringing people in. That doesn't just happen when people want to show up and get together and protest something. That's organization. And MoveOn.org, of course, is behind a lot of this. That's George Soros, who's meeting with a bunch of Democrats in Washington, D.C. as we speak for 3 days. I actually think George Soros at this point is like an enemy of the state. The guy's got his evil little fingers and all kinds of stuff. And he's part of the reason that you're seeing these demonstrations. So a very interesting period in American history. Nevertheless, we will see a peaceful transfer of power from Obama to President-elect Donald Trump. But how are you reacting to all this? I'd love to talk to you today and hear from you and see what you're thinking about. Are you hopeful? Were you concerned? Oprah Winfrey got beat up the other day on social media because she simply tweeted after watching. And maybe you want to comment on the interaction you saw between Donald Trump and President Barack Obama. And then today, I was just watching before we went live. I was watching President Obama at a live press conference, and he was being very gracious and very careful with his words in terms of this incoming new president, a controversial pick, obviously, when it comes to the Electoral College. You know, right now, Donald Trump's about 303 Electoral College votes and Hillary down in the low 200s. I mean, completely shellacked her when it came to the Electoral College. Yet people around the country, and this happens all the time, by the way, Solomon was right, there's really nothing new under the sun. And so people have always complained every election cycle about the Electoral College when it doesn't go your way. When you do win, you say nothing. But when you lose, of course, all of a sudden you don't like the Electoral College. I'll explain a little bit about the Electoral College, because it was really a brilliant thing that our founding fathers set it up because we do not want a pure democracy where it's always just the majority rules, because the majority has a tendency with the accumulation of power to abuse that power. And guess who gets abused when the majority has the power? That's right, it's the minority. So if we didn't have the Electoral College, every president would be decided by 4, 5, 6, 7 of the biggest cities in America. And all of the rest of the states and all of the rest of the cities and all of the rest of the people would really have no say in the Electoral College whatsoever, and that is a major problem. So our founding fathers were very smart in setting up the Electoral College, but it does give you a circumstance where you can have somebody have a slight edge in the popular vote but not win the Electoral College vote. It's only happened 4 times in American history. It might happen this time, but they're not done with all the numbers. So there's still a chance. I've seen some reports that shows Donald Trump might actually win the popular vote as well. So all kinds of things to consider and look at as we are on the other side of this really historic election, more so than most, of Donald Trump. So what are you thinking? How, when you see these protests and what's going on, what do you think about that? As you hear about and you see Donald Trump and Obama last week and that meeting came together, and then the 60 Minutes interview yesterday, I would love to hear from you to see what you're thinking about these first few days of the transition of power between Barack Obama and Donald Trump. 866-348-7884 is our number, as always. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Would love to hear from you and just see, especially if you were a Trump voter, what do you think? And if you were not a Trump voter, maybe you voted Democrat, maybe you voted third party, maybe you didn't vote on the top of the ticket. And what are you thinking about what you're seeing? How are you processing through what's happening in this country? 866-348-7884. Back to the Oprah thing. So last week when she watched that interaction that we got to see on the tail end of that hour and a half meeting between President Obama and Donald Trump. And she simply tweeted, "Everybody take a deep breath, hashtag hope lives." And then she got hammered in the social media world by a bunch of different actor. Patton Oswalt wrote, "Oprah, what the blank? This is not one of my favorite things." Film writer Scott Weinberg added, "I used to have great respect for Oprah," past tense, on and on and on. And all she did was say, "Hey, I'm hopeful. This looks pretty good." I mean, these guys said some amazingly difficult things about one another, and now they're sitting in the Oval Office, apparently having a very good conversation that was originally only going to be 15 minutes and then lasted an hour and a half. And then I've been watching Obama's live press conference for the last 45 minutes before coming live onto the show here, and he's being very gracious. He's willing to work with Trump. Trump was very kind in his words about Obama and asking for some help in the transition. So it's going to be very interesting to watch all this play out. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. When we come back, I've got a bunch of different stories if we have time to get to. Of course, we'll have a Money Monday update at the end of the show with our friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. When we come back, we'll get to your calls. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's make sure, friend, that you and I are praying for not just the existing president, President Obama, but incoming President-elect Donald Trump as well. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Watch the protests as you see the 60 Minutes thing. What'd you think about Trump and Obama? I mean, I think that was pleasantly positive, it seemed like to me. So I'm just curious how you all are dealing with processing through what you think about what's happening in this country since Donald Trump won the Electoral College vote. And it's really close in the popular vote. And there's still a chance that he'll win the popular vote. But that doesn't matter because we live under a constitutional law. And that's the Electoral College, which I'll talk about a little bit later. I want to go to Kay, who's calling in from Winston-Salem. Kay, you're on with Steve and Call to Action. Thanks so much for calling today. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I'm just calling in response to your question about the transition. And I think, honestly, so far so good. it was really good to see the meeting with President-elect Trump and President Obama. However, I think that the first step to kind of ending some of this negative response to Trump's presidency would be a Trump apology. He put out a lot of divisive racist, misogynist rhetoric that I think he needs to be held accountable for. Just because he has won the office does not mean that we just simply forget about all of those things that he said. And I think that, you know, another thing to consider is that he knew that he was feeding this white nationalist viewpoint, and he continued to do it. He knew what was being sparked, what was being stoked.
Do you have any, Kay, do you have any quotes, any specific things that Donald Trump said during the primary and the general election that you can recall? Because I know there's a lot, like I've got several pages of Donald Trump quotes from the last 30 years. But I wouldn't want you using things that I said 25 years against me, because I'm not the same person today than I was then. I'd like to think to a certain extent that would be true of Donald Trump as well. But were there some things he said during the campaign that you actually held on to?
Oh, absolutely. I think the biggest thing was build a wall. That in itself is divisive. I mean, in the first place, we have a wall. I mean, we have items, you know, elements in place to protect our country. You know, a lot of the things that he brought up, we have those things in place. We have vetting. I think that the chanting of the build a wall, and I even think make America great again, as if we're not already great, as if, you know, to what point in history is he referring?
Well, yeah, I think when you talk about make America great again, that's going to appeal to the side that is going to vote more conservative and Republican, because they look at the country and go, I don't think it's great. And then Democrats will look at the country and think the exact same. It's the exact opposite. So you're always going to have that. That's just a matter of who's listening to that particular message. But on the wall, I'm curious that you say that just wanting to build a wall is in itself a divisive statement. Why do you think that?
It's not just that. It's that combined with a lot of the other things, a lot of the other comments that he made. I don't think this is anything secret or private about his personality, or, I mean, the tweets that he would put out, or, you know, how he would talk about a woman's looks, even referring to Carly Fiorina. I mean,
right,
a lot
that kind of
what
stuff.
Appears to be his personality just kind of came out. And I think that he needs to atone for some of that. I think that he wants to be a president for everyone, and he wants to bring unity, and I think that's great. And I think
would that help you a lot, Kay, just in terms of maybe giving it a chance as he assumes office on January 20th? He came out and said, "Hey, listen, some of the things I said were
it
off."
Really would. It really would. It would show that he's a bigger man than a lot of us think he is.
Yeah. I mean, I hear that, and a lot of people have said the same thing. Kay, thanks so much for calling in. But you know, I asked Kay about specifics, because I think we all can fall prey to this whole narrative that's out there, like this actor, Trevor Noah. I was looking this up earlier. Trevor Noah, he's the host of Comedy Central's The Daily Show. So he's saying, you know, the whole thing is just the only reason the guy got elected is because there are people who put two things above everything else, and that is whiteness, and that is also sex and misogyny. Except 72% of the electorate is always white. And so he's making these broad statements, assuming the only reason I didn't vote for Donald Trump because I'm sexist, or because I'm big on my skin color, or for any other reason other than I thought that it was I had to do everything I could to stop Hillary Clinton. Absolutely. That was number one for me. And then with Donald Trump, there were a bunch of things that I'm concerned about. I still am. And so I'm going to really be keeping, as far as I can, his feet to the fire and paying attention to all this stuff. And there's a lot of things about Donald Trump flat out I do not like. But compared to what I know and what Hillary Clinton has done, that was a no-brainer, which is why I voted for that. But he's sitting there saying, well, it's all just it's about whiteness. It's about misogyny. It's about Donald Trump hates women. And so all the psycho people that are really big on whites and really down on whites and on women and black people just isn't true, because Clinton won 54% of the women's vote. But Trump got 42%, and actually she got less percentage of the black vote than her predecessor, and Donald Trump got more percentage of the black vote than Mitt Romney did. And Mitt Romney, an incredibly moral guy as far as we could tell. So I just want to warn all of us, when we sit there and say, well, he said all these terrible things, make sure you have some facts before we say those things. And I'm not just talking about Kay's comments. I'm talking about everybody on both sides of the aisle. We tend to grab on what pushes our own personal narrative forward, as opposed to actually checking the facts, which the press used to do, but they don't anymore, obviously. Let's run over to Jeff, who's down in Charlotte. Jeff, thanks for calling in. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. After the election, I have just got to the point where I am very concerned for our country and for the church with the big C. It was a very close election. If you go to the popular vote, like you said, it's a toss-up, go either way. But what concerns me is that I have friends in my church that voted both ways. And we as a church need to, if you're a Trump supporter, not gloat, because there are people who voted the other way for a very good reason. Our pastor gave a great sermon yesterday where he said, you know, you maybe have voted for Trump because you wanted him to appoint Supreme Court justices, which has a generational effect. And or you may have voted for Hillary because read the Old Testament, and what did Jesus come to do but to minister to the poor, which, frankly, the Republicans are not strong on. So we as the church need to come together and say, our common ground is Jesus Christ, and quite frankly, he is the only person that could rule the United States or any other country in a sufficient way.
Right,
and
right.
We do not want to be, as the church, gloating or throwing stones one on another or being in a situation where it's that I'm obviously right and you're wrong.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I'm just up on a break here, Jeff, so I got to let you go. I appreciate you calling in and making that point. And that is the challenge for us. Can we rise above our political differences, even when it comes down to things like abortion, with two people that actually are born again? How do we get to a point where we can unify for the sake of the gospel, even though we disagree when it comes to politics? That's a really challenging field that we're in. We'll be right back. Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you as we continue to watch this this transition of power and as our nation goes in yet another direction. The pendulum continues to swing back and forth as it's done throughout my lifetime. I'm 50 years of age. I've seen it swing back and forth on national levels, on state levels, on local levels, and it will continue to do so. However, my greater concern in the political realm is as the country and the facts bear this out. You know, we still talk about those things here on Call to Action Radio, the facts. And so as the country, as people go more secular, they tend to go more liberal in their policies and their politics. And on many levels, I have a major concern with that. So as the country goes more secular, which it is, it will push left. Now, what do you do if you're a conservative Christian like me? What do you do? Well, we better make sure we're praying. We still need to engage. We still need to speak truth to power. We still need to be activists. But if we're doing that and we're not doing evangelism and discipleship, if we're not really putting the first things first as followers of Jesus Christ, remembering that you are a Christian that happens to live in America. You're not an American Christian. You're a Christian who God has placed sovereignly in the United States of America. So your kingdom allegiance is first and foremost, as it always should be, to the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Okay? That's what we're called to. While we are concerned with, as we should be, and engage, as we should, I believe, in the political system, but not thinking that that's the end-all, be-all for this country, because it isn't. We care about America, but I care about Americans even more, and the biggest thing I can care about for my fellow Americans is the state of their soul, which is why you want to see votes change, you want to see behaviors change, you want to see families change, you need to see minds change, and minds get changed most effectively by the gospel and by conversion. And then all of a sudden, now you're aware and become aware of, as you learn and become sanctified, the truth of God's word, which then begins to impact everything that you do, or at least it should. Let's go to Isaac, who's calling in from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Isaac, thanks for calling in. Thanks for waiting. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Steve.
You're welcome.
So I just had a couple points here. One was regards to the demonstrations, protests. These, in my opinion, is riots. When you disrupt people's lives and you destroy property, it's riots. It's not protests or demonstrations. So I think they need to be called what they are.
Yeah.
As far as the meeting with President Obama and Trump, I thought that went well. But what bugs me is with these riots, at least I haven't seen him or any from the left get on TV and denounce any of this. at least I haven't seen that coverage. Maybe they've done it, but I'm not aware of that.
I haven't seen it either. And if somebody's seen it, please give us a call and tell us or send me a note on Facebook. But I haven't seen that either.
Yeah. So, I mean, which I just don't understand. I do and I don't. And then you got the media that just incites it more. And then the CBS interview, my wife and I kids watched that. I thought the best thing out of that was at the end when the host had asked them all about what they thought this meant about the Trump name and how it would ruin the Trump name. And I thought the answer that they gave about that really said a lot about, I think, what he plans to do as a president, that they could care less. It had nothing to do about their name, that if their hotels were filled up anymore, that there were real problems in the country, and that's there to fix. People think of his name, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really good, too.
Yeah, I thought that was a great point, too. Isaac, thanks so much for listening, and thanks for calling in today. That was a great moment. I mean, there were some things in there, and you know this. I didn't expect Donald Trump to take a hard stance on gay marriage, for example. I knew that wasn't going to happen. I knew that he was going to, you know, now a bunch of Republican plans for repeal and replace Obamacare included dealing with pre-existing conditions and the notion that, you know, because we extended adolescence now to what's the official age now that you can be an adolescent, like 40? And so, you can stay on your parents' insurance until you're 26, that kind of stuff. And then, of course, if you shut off the Obamacare valve on January 21st, you're going to have a certain number of millions of people that don't have any insurance. You're going to have to deal with that, too. So there is that. So you know that there's going to be some give and take there. He was very strong on the Supreme Court justices when Leslie Stahl asked him about that. He went so far as to say, no, I'm going to appoint very pro-life judges and very pro-Second Amendment judges. Now, when you get into the nomination process and confirmation of judges, which happens in the Senate, which is going to get a little nutty, you know, the judges never talk about that stuff. They don't want to incriminate themselves. They're not going to basically perjure themselves because then they'd have to recuse themselves on down the line. So they talk about judicial philosophy. And you can find out pretty much if they're a strict constructionist, follow the Constitution, or a broad constructionist, you know, it's a living, breathing document like liberals like to do, liberal theology will do with the Bible. And he was very strong there. But there's going to be some other areas where there's some wishy-washy stuff. And I did appreciate that. And they asked about the Trump name. And he said, listen, whether my hotels are full or not is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. The turning the direction of this country around is far more important. He didn't care about the Trump name and the hotel thing. And when he said that, I believed him. Now, I can't imagine. I can, because I have a pretty wild imagination. So I think there's two things that could happen with respect to Donald Trump himself. I think he's probably most likely being deeply humbled by this. It's one thing to run your own little real estate empire and casinos and hotels and all that kind of stuff. It's another thing to be generally the leader of the free world, to have the White House and the executive branch all of a sudden on your shoulders. You know, they have to replace, they can replace, they don't have to, but they generally have a close to 7,000 positions between now and January 20th that are all open to presidential appointment, all of them. And most of them don't require confirmation. So members of the cabinet, members of the White House staff, the White House executive office, all of those things. He you walk in, he didn't know about that. Quite frankly, I don't know all along if he was so sure he was going to be the president himself. But I have been, and I would like to see President Obama and even Hillary Clinton come out and decry these quote-unquote protests, which look a lot more like riots to me and are definitely, I think, mostly more than 51% being driven by George Soros, who I would believe is an enemy of the state now because he's an enemy of the peace that can exist in this country. And then you have the media vortex, right? So you take one or two things, 20 cities, 30 cities. Let's say that there's 30,000 people out there tonight across all these different cities. Now, there's 330 million people in this country. It's less than 0.1%. But you watch the media and you listen to Leslie Stahl on her interview that aired last night on CNN. And she's like, there's every city, there's a Trump protest, anti-Trump protest. That's a ridiculous statement. It's a lie. It's a falsehood. It's irresponsible. And it's inciting more fear and concern. Listen, 99.5% of us, 99.8% of us will go through this peaceful transition of power as it was designed to happen. Praise the Lord for it. It's very rare internationally and for the last 230 plus years. We need to praise God for that. And the other, let me just say this because I'm going to have David Fisher, our friend David Fisher will be on in the last segment of the show to talk about, well, you know, what's going on with gold, what's going on in the stock market, what's going on in interest rates. It's going to be very interesting to watch what happens over the next 2 months, 3 months. I mean, even before January 20th, you know, that the head cheese up in Canada, the president down in Mexico, they're all talking about, hey, we'll look at NAFTA with you. We'll talk about these things. Trump had a call from the Chinese prime minister or whatever he's called on Sunday. And, you know, and now they know he's not a pushover. They know that. And so it's going to be very interesting to watch all this happen. But let's make sure we're praying for him and his transition team. And I'm thankful to President Obama for the way he's handling it. And I watched the live press conference earlier today, and he's being very careful with his words. They're trying to bait him into the fact, you know, you said he couldn't handle it, blah, 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 blah. He's not going down those roads. And he's willing to spend more time in this transition to help Trump out. And Trump's willing to take it and asked him for the help. I think that sends a great message to all of us, left, right, center, black, white, Asian, Mexican, whatever, that despite our deep differences, the beautiful thing about America is because of our liberty and if we have a moral center. Oh, that's the problem, right? As the country gets more secular, you lose that camaraderie around a moral norm. And so things get more wacky. But that's why ultimately, like with the Electoral College, let me just finish this segment with that. We have two houses of Congress. Why? Because the big states were like, hey, we need more representation because we're, you know, bigger. And the small states are like, no, the big states are going to decide everything in Congress then. So that's not fair. That's why we have two houses, a bicameral Congress. We have the Senate where representation is equal. Big, giant California, tiny little Maine. They both have two U.S. senators. They're both in there for 6 years. And so you have an even playing field there. Over on the House side, you have states getting congressional seats by population. That's why we do the census every 10 years, and then we adjust accordingly. So you have the big states versus the small states in the House. The big states have more people, more challenges, and so they have more representation there. But in the Senate, you even it all out. And what our founding fathers did with the Electoral College is just carried that thought process into the presidency, saying we can't just let big states and big population centers decide the president. We have to have representation across all the states, 13 at the time, and now up to 50, obviously. The thing that's really interesting about the Electoral College, when you read it in the Constitution, is that they also were wary of, hey, mob rule. And you don't always have the smartest people voting. And so the other thing with the Electoral College was to try to have some pretty intelligent, sophisticated people in there that if the people themselves started to get a little wacky, you had another check there with some people that were older and wiser, hopefully. But ultimately, what it was we have to give equal representation as much as possible from the big population centers to the rural areas, from the big states to the small states, so that everybody has a say in who the president is. Otherwise, it would be the top five markets in the United States deciding every time. Well, that's a good little song for the Republican Party, who as of January 20th is going to have control of the executive branch and the legislative branch. Learning to walk again. We'll see what they do with it. And I promise you, I give you my yes. I will speak out against everything that violates or goes against good governance according to a biblical worldview. And we'll be watching Donald Trump like a hawk. I'm expecting some good things. I'm expecting some really disappointing things. So we'll keep our eye on it. But let's make sure you, friend, and myself, we are praying for not only President Obama and the people that are in office now, but the incoming people elected in this election, as well as the president, the incoming president himself. Let's make sure we're bathing these people in prayer, not because it feels right, but because it is right and because it is a command by the Lord, right? Pray 1tim2.org. If you haven't regularly prayed for those in office above us, please go to my friend's website, Jim Young. He spoke at a call to worship a few weeks ago. Pray 1tim2, as in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray 1tim2.org. Sign up for your state, and every day you'll get an email with six or seven elected officials, not going to tell you what party they're in, one on the federal level, and then five or six on the state level, and begin to pray for them. And I think you'll find, like I did, that God will really minister to you in the political arena as you pray for those in authority over us, which he commands us to do. Let's go to our good friend David Fisher with Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, the website for great information and education as always. David, well, the last time we talked, it was the day before the election, and here we are 6 days later, 7 days later. Were you surprised that Donald Trump won?
Surprised from the standpoint of what the media was saying, but not surprised in my spirit because that was definitely what I wanted to happen. So,
yeah, very, very interesting to watch that. And now you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, David, and have served the Lord as both a pastor and as a layman. But what do you think when you see these? I was just talking earlier in the show with our friends here on Call to Action about these protests and quote-unquote riots around the country. I mean, how are you reacting to what you're seeing out there as a result of the election of Donald Trump?
Well, I think the protests are just people that don't understand and maybe very frustrated with didn't get their college education wish list paid for. So I think that's really coming from their aspect of it. I don't see there's really no protesting here in Phoenix that I can even see. And I think it's just minor segments around the country.
Oh, yeah, definitely a very, very, very minute percentage of the nation. We can thank God for that. Well, let's start out with a biblical application today. You shot me an email, and we're looking at 1 John 2. So take us down that road, and then we'll get into some of these updates on the international side and the domestic, especially given what just happened with the race for the presidency.
1 John 2:23, no one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. You know, our salvation definitely comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and the way to the Father is through the Son, as we all know it, Steve. And why I put that in there is there's some people like to piecemeal things when we get down to the political arena and the financial arena. Like, oh, I want this, but to get that, I have to do this. In other words, you'll hear about that in the domestic segment a little bit. We'll talk about that, and you'll see how the scripture relates. Should we talk about the international, what's going on with Deutsche Bank and Commerce
Yeah,
Bank?
Definitely, because we got to keep an eye on Deutsche because it's 8 to 10 times worse than what happened in the U.S. back in 2008. So what is happening there? And I know there's layoffs and things going on as well.
Deutsche Bank announced they're cutting 9,000 jobs, and Commerce Bank, the second largest bank in trouble in Europe, in specifically Germany, is eliminating 7,300 positions. So the banks are trying to pull back in wages to keep the same services, to pull down the debt structure because they're not making enough money to keep in business. So we're watching that.
Go ahead.
So we're watching that and seeing what's going on with Deutsche Bank. It's kind of taking the back burner with the political elections that went on, though.
Yeah, but we have to keep an eye on that one because that would be an awfully large rock thrown into the ocean that would definitely affect people around the world if Deutsche Bank actually goes down. But, yeah, let's look at the domestic because, you know, everybody was saying, you know, it was interesting the day before the election and even the day of the election, you know, the Dow Jones Industrial Futures overnight, you know, the down 700, down 800 points. But the Dow had a great week and then actually broke its ceiling. It's pretty interesting to see how stocks rallied last week.
The Dow was down 800 points. S&P Limited down 5%. They put circuit breakers kicked in. They shut down trading. Second time it's ever happened. The first time was during the Asian currency crisis in 1997. And gold was up 5%. The markets opened the next day, and everything was flat. Because when Trump started accepting his did the acceptance speech as the presidential elect, he was very presidential, and he's been extremely presidential since then. And that's why we're seeing a Dow rally. That's why we're seeing gold pull back a little bit. So there's definitely presidential attributes that he's bringing about, and he's really focused on what he wants to do, and he's not getting sidetracked with all these other little issues that gets this other side of Donald coming out.
Yeah, so it is interesting, and I would definitely call this a honeymoon because 6 decent days of a president-elect and the president handling it the way he is versus all these years of the stock market, of our banking situation, of our debt situation, that stuff hasn't changed one iota just because Donald Trump is now the president-elect. So is this just kind of a honeymoon? Should we kind of keep our eyes on the horizon and not assume that everything's going to be fine? Because I don't think it's going to be.
Well, here's what's going on in reference to the honeymoon aspect. He has not even entered office yet. He's just talking about this ideas. And the dollar had a by index went from under 97 to almost 100, a 3% increase. That's a huge move in the dollar in this short amount of time. The Dow is at all-time highs. We're at a period of time where Donald Trump is going to inherit almost a 3,000-day rally for the stocks, or 32 months. It's the longest period of time, and it's overdue for a correction. So that's going on. And while the Dow is rallying, we're having... clearly, interest rates are moving up. The 10-year note just shattered through 2.5%, which is unheard of. The first time it broke above 2% was the day of Election Day. So we're moving into an inflationary environment. Donald wants to do a lot of spending in infrastructure and military. He's going to undo the spending cuts. And to do that, and this is where the scripture comes into mind, he's going to have to stimulate the economy, and to do that, he's going to do tax cuts. To put it in perspective, Reaganomics, Reagan slashed taxes from 70% down to 28%. Trump wants to slash it from 40% down to only 33%. So we're going to have a lot of budget deficit spending going on, and the debt ceiling is going to be on our threshold of our door front here within the first 90 days of Trump being in office. What does that mean? They're going to have to raise the debt ceiling. And that is the age-old argument. Before, Republicans opposed this every single time under the Obama administration, and now we have, because of they were the minority, now they're in the majority. And Trump's proposal would require a huge increase in the debt ceiling, or repeal of the law, or a default. So the debt is going to be the main issue here, and that's going to cause gold to go up.
Yeah, and the debt remains the main issue no matter what they're saying in D.C. Until they get serious about slashing the debt and dealing with our spending. You know, they can talk about all the great new programs and everything, but until they get serious about cutting back, that problem is going to continue to increase. So how do we then begin to kind of prepare ourselves for what 2017 could look like?
Well, I still think having some stocks in the portfolio makes sense. But at the end of the day, you got to better have some gold, because if they don't take care of our debt, that's where gold has rallied the last 15 years, because we haven't taken care of our debt. And that's where this bail-in could happen and seizure of wealth. So that's why they're saying in the first 2 years, we could see the debt ballooning $5 trillion under President-elect Trump if he doesn't do this proper way, and the numbers don't add up. You have to go through the son to get to the father, and if you're going to slash the debt, you better slash taxes huge, and you got to have both of those things happen at the same time.
Yeah, can you foresee, David, any changes on the Dodd-Frank Act with a Trump administration?
Well, he's talking about rolling back just one portion of three, which is the what banks have to pay for the reporting requirements, and this is what stifled lending on small banks and community banks. He hasn't talked about repealing it from the standpoint of undoing the ownership of your money. That's the biggest part of the Dodd-Frank Act in my position, where it changed the legal ownership of our money. It's no longer ours.
Yeah, so I think that we need to, even if you voted for Donald Trump, and you and I both did, and you're hopeful about the future because of a change in administration and now having the executive branch and the legislative branch, we're not even close to being out of the deep weeds here. We need to be very vigilant and very concerned about what's happening financially. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Steve.
Well, tell us real quick, so people can continue to get educated on this. You've got the two really important white papers, the coming bail-in, as well as an IRA, which, you know, you and I have been talking about the IRA and actually taking possession via gold and precious metals in your IRA. Now I'm starting to hear it all over the place on conservative radio. So tell our folks, our friends again, about these two white papers and how they can get a hold of them.
They can get a hold of us at 844-879-8882 or landmarkgold.com. And explains in depth how you can take ownership of your money through your retirement, holding it physically in your hands without a tax liability.
Yeah, just a fascinating concept, and something that, again, I've said this to you before, David, I say it on the air quite often, None of us can afford to have a pre-9/11 mindset in a post-9/11 world. It's getting more and more complicated, which means we need to get smarter and more effective with how we manage the finances that the Lord has placed into our care, custody, and control. David Fisher, always great to talk to you, my friend. I look forward to hearing from you again next week.
Sounds good, Steve.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you then. Landmark Capital, friends, the same as always, landmarkgold.com or 844-879-8882. Tomorrow, an amazing show with somebody that's come out of the homosexual lifestyle as well as a Christian counselor. It's going to be awesome. God willing, I'll talk to you then.